I had a surprise this week. I thought we were moving on. We're working our way through purpose, protection, and provision. And I thought we were going to be moving on to protection this week. But the Lord just would not let me leave where we started last week. We've been talking, of course, about purpose and how we are made in God's image. We're made to be like Him. And so we've talked about how we're made to be loving like He is, faithful like He is, generous like He is. And last week, we talked about how we're made to be holy like He is. And as I said, the Lord brought a passage of Scripture to mind. I've actually been memorizing it and just could not get it off my mind. So that's where we'll be. So you can turn back with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we'll be spending some time this morning. The cell phones are just going crazy this morning, aren't they? Anyhow, moving on from the cell phones, let's start off with a little bit of review. Okay, we talked last week about how there are two ideas behind the word holiness. So who can remind me of at least one of those? What's the idea behind the word holiness? Any thoughts? I put part of our illustration from last week up here in case that would help you. I know some of you are not here. Exactly. Okay, so that's what this part represents. This is water from filtered water from the famous filter at my house. And so there's nothing in here but absolutely pure water. No impurities, no sin in that's in there. And so that's the first idea behind holiness, is that we would not have any wickedness, any evil, any sin in our lives. All right, who remembers the second idea? Right, we are set apart. Okay, the word holy literally means to be set apart. So, who knows what this is? Thank you. Sam's water bottle. Okay, I carry this thing with me almost everywhere. If you see it sitting in the back, you immediately know who it belongs to. It belongs to me. I drink water out of it multiple times every day. You are like that to God. According to the Bible, you are set apart for Him. You belong to Him. I love, there are just so many verses in the Old Testament that describe this to us in great detail. There's a verse in Isaiah 44 where it says, and I believe it's probably referring to a future time, but it's talking about Israel, and it's saying how at that time, so many in the land of Israel will write on their hand, belonging to the Lord. You know, I used to do this. I haven't done it recently. But I remember the first time I read that passage and God, it just hit me. And I took out a pen. You know, I'm kind of against tattoos. This is the only thing I've ever been tempted to have tattooed on me, belonging to the Lord. I've just written that on my hand before and make no attempt to wash it off, just as long as it'll stay there. I love it. Belonging to the Lord. You belong to Him. There's another verse I was just reminded of this morning. In the Old Testament, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So the second idea behind holiness, the first idea is the absence of impurities. The second idea is that we are set apart for Him. We belong to Him. And so this whole journey that we have been on of growing to be like Him is actually the idea of holiness. You see, there is no giant list somewhere in the universe where it's got holiness written on the top, and here's all the list of the things that it means. And God goes by every now and then and checks on them. There's no list. God is the definition of holiness, of goodness, of righteousness. He's the definition. And so our goal is to become like Him. And so, of course, we talked a lot last week about how, you know, we were saying, is this true? And it's not true. And I told you about some of my own problems, how when I was a teenager, I got in the habit of stealing some things, even from stores. And I'm not going to go into that whole journey again. If you feel like that would be helpful for you to walk through, you can listen to the message from last week. But this will be hard for me to say. So that means during my teenage years, I was a thief. Now, I've never written that down before. I've never said that to anybody before because I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But that's what sin does to us. If you tell a lie, you're a liar. Jesus said, if you look at a woman to lust for her in your heart, you are an adulterer. So this is what Adam and Eve started. Put the blame on somebody else, right? And we were all born with this. This is the problem. The crux of the matter is, let's become like Christ. And of course, we spent a fair amount of time last week talking about the first step being salvation. Asking Him into your heart because He just declares you righteous. He wipes away all of that guilt and shame and sin. And He paid for it on the cross. That's how He can do that. That's how He can be just and the justifier of the one who has put their faith in Jesus. So that's the first step. That's the journey that we're on. We're going to focus a little bit more, though, this morning on the second step. And the idea there is, how can we grow in this? Because what happened in my life, not everything, but part of what happened in my life as far as my stealing things happened after I became a Christian. Of course, the Lord wouldn't let me stay there, thankfully. But we have things that we need to learn in, that we need to grow in, and God's given us His help and His Word and His Holy Spirit. So let's just talk some about Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. And there's an outline in your bulletin, on the back of your bulletin, if you'd like to look at that and fill in those blanks. But let's pray and just ask God to guide us as we go through here. Well, dear Lord in heaven, I want to thank You this morning that I'm not standing up here alone. Lord, I thank You that You are with me and that by the grace of God, You live in my heart. Lord, I thank You that I am forgiven and loved by You. I thank You, Lord, that I am a new creation in Christ and that You are still making me new, Lord, and creating new habits in my life, giving me greater victory each day, each month, each year. Lord, I thank You that anyone in this room who's put their faith in Christ, that's where they are as well. Lord, we ask You to be our teacher this morning. Give us Your great grace, Lord, to make progress in these things, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, one more thing I'd like to say before we start in Ephesians 4. I said I kind of almost ended with this last week, but I'd like to say it again because I'm not sure everyone in the room believes it. I'm not sure everyone in the room will agree with me. I know many Christians do not agree with me. But the way I understand the Bible, you do not have to sin. Okay? You just don't have to. You're a new creature in Christ, and He is living in your heart. And you do not have to sin. I know there are a lot of people who would say differently, but I can quote you an awful lot of Bible verses about it. Anyhow, we're going to start off in verse 17, where we see why the world can't stop sinning and why they are stuck in this pattern. So verse 17, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind." Okay, stop there for a moment. When it says walk, it's not the idea of walking like a soldier or walking like a wimp. You know, walk this way, as they said in the movies. It's the idea of how you live, okay? So that you live no longer, just as the Gentiles also live in the futility of their mind. The Bible says that you are actually born a sinner. If you're in the human race, unfortunately, you're a son or daughter of Adam and Eve, and you're born a sinner. So we are born with a futile mind. We're born with a mind that has a tendency to disobey God. It's a mind that's selfish. It's a mind that's proud. It's a mind that's always tempted to say to God, well, yeah, I really don't need Your help. As a matter of fact, you see this in little kids a lot. I can do it myself. Leave me alone. I can do this. And so we're just in this mindset of being kind of selfish, kind of proud, and it can go in a really bad direction. By the grace of God, we hope it'll go in a better direction. But he says, don't be there. He goes on to describe them in verse 18. It says, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. It's a really interesting verse, okay? On your outline there, the first line would be, the world is darkened and excluded. Okay, this is just where the world is. Their mind is darkened, so they tend towards disobedience and sin, and they are excluded from God because sin cannot be in his presence. God says, the reason I can't hear you when you pray is because your sin separates me from, that's Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, okay? The Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated, your iniquities have separated you from me. I can't quote all of it there, but you get the idea. We're separated from him. So the world is darkened and excluded. Why? Well, the verse says, because of ignorance. Okay, and this is not name-calling. This is not God saying, you're just ignorant. It's just that they're missing some information that they really need. The world doesn't understand the love of God. The world doesn't understand that God's plan for our lives is an amazing plan. That it will make them the most satisfied, the most fulfilled, the most joyful people they could ever imagine. The world is missing this information because they want to go their own way and do their own thing and enjoy their sin. They're missing that information because of the ignorance that is in them. And the verse goes on to say, because of the hardness of their heart. Okay, they're darkened and excluded because of ignorance, because of hardness of heart. So the reason they don't get the information that they need is because their heart's been hardened, right? And so, like I said, we're born with this inclination, this shyness away from God. How we respond to him throughout life determines how hard our heart gets. You may be aware of the fact that most people, the majority of people, become Christians when they're younger. Why is that? Because the more often you tell the Lord, no, I'm not interested, no, I'm going to live my way, the harder your heart gets. And so the reason there's this ignorance about the things of God, the love of God, the plan of God, the goodness of God, is because of hardness of heart. And it just continues to grow as we go through life. And he continues with his description in verse 19. He says, and they, having become callous. So stop there for a moment. The description there is that this hardness of heart continues. It grows. It's like calluses on your fingers. You know, Kathy was starting to play the guitar again recently, and she couldn't play for very long. Fingers hurt. But if you play long enough, you get these thick pieces of skin right there, and then you can bear down with all the weight you want. And so if we say no to the Lord long enough and yes to sin long enough, we become so thick-skinned that God can't break through. So it says, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality. So the idea behind sensuality is the word sensuous. It has to do with your senses. So the world has just given themselves over to, hey, whatever feels good, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever looks good to my lustful eye, whatever, I don't know, you fill in the blank. Just anything sensuous, anything that I would enjoy, and of course that's a problem because we're born with a bent toward sin, but that's what I'm going to go after. So because of their callous, they've given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Okay, this is the world, with greediness. So that means, I just did it today, but hey, I need more. I need more. I need more. I need more. I need more of that. You know, that's a journey. That's a downward spiral, right? I don't know if you know this, but from what I understand, pornography, for example. Pornography is extremely addictive. But as someone who's struggling with it goes through life, they need deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper pornography to get that same high that they got a long time ago from something way down here with greediness. It's like rich people. You know, you'd say, well, if I just had some money, I'd be happy. But rich people aren't happy. As a matter of fact, a number of them have been asked the question, how much money does it take to make a person happy? And some of the wealthiest people in the world have said, just a little bit more. That's how much it takes to make me happy. A little bit more. So this is where the world is stuck. And it's helpful for us to understand this because we were all there once. I was there. And we don't want to be there anymore. And so God gives us a way out. Of course, we already talked about the beginning of that journey, which is a transformation, a heart transformation called salvation, when he puts a new heart inside of us. But the growth there, continue with me in verse 20. It says, but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. In other words, if you've heard Jesus speaking to you, and you've heard other people talking to you about him, and you've believed that and have accepted that, you're on a different journey. Okay, this doesn't have to be true of you anymore. So here's the journey you can be on, verse 22. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. That's that downward journey we talked about. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Now, this is a beautiful picture. And here's what I feel like you and I should do. How can we change and live in the power of God? We need to remember two pictures. Okay, the first one that you need to get clearly in your mind is a picture of your past. Okay, just remember what you were like. Remember the things that were tempting to you. Remember the way that you lived. Don't censor anything out. You know, I know, because I'm there. Like I told you, I would have never called myself a thief. Couldn't admit it. So don't censor anything. You need a clear, clear picture of your past and who you were. Then you also need a clear, clear picture of the vision Jesus put in your heart that day you became a new creation. Now, I know we have all had different experiences. Okay, but for me, I can remember that picture as if it happened this morning. Okay, it was so vivid for me. I was absolutely scared to death. For some reason, I knew how it worked, but for some reason, I felt I had to walk down in front of the church, and there was, I don't know, 100, 200 people in there. I was little. I was shy. It took me weeks of the Lord tugging on me. I wasn't going to go down there. I was like, Lord, I can't do that. But I finally did, and I prayed. I asked the Lord to forgive my sin come into my life. So the picture is so vivid for me. I remember the ride home. It was like I had on a pair of those happy glasses. You know what I'm talking about? Right? So the sky is bluer. The grass is greener. I was different. I got home. My bed is one of these single beds with a low window right beside it. The sun is streaming through the window. I throw out my arms like this and I go, I fall back on my bed. And inside of me, there's this picture of who I'm supposed to be in Christ. Entirely different person. The love of God in my heart. Someone who honors and obeys his parents. Someone who actually gets along with his brothers and his sister, etc. I mean, I had this picture. You need to get that picture in your mind. And in case you have any struggles with God's picture for you, almost the rest of this book, certainly through the rest of this chapter and chapter 5, God's just helping you get that picture in place of who he wants you to be, okay? Of the thing you should put off, that's the old picture. And the thing you should put on, that's the new picture. So we'll go through some of it. Got a little bit of time this morning. We'll go through some of it. I'll have you raise your hand if you'd like to make a comment or whatever. But I want to say one more thing before we start the journey. Because I just want you to understand how powerful this could be for you. We had this young man come live in our home for a time. And he had multiple problems, major problems in his life. I won't take the time to try to describe them all. But doing very poorly in school, in trouble with the law, he had gotten some girl pregnant, all kinds of problems, you name them. Couldn't make it in school. So the decision was, Kathy's going to homeschool him for a time. That wasn't a hard decision because no one else could handle him. And he was failing out of school. So she starts homeschooling him, and it's going great. I mean, we're all amazed. We're like, whoa, this young man is actually learning some things. He's being respectful, it's going well. I mean, I think he may have even actually sort of started a journey with the Lord. I don't know how far that went, but it seems like he was starting that journey as well. And so we were so excited. Well, one night he went to a meeting, and we're not sure, but we think, because he ran in that crowd and he knew all about that crowd, we think someone gave him some alcohol that night, which he probably smuggled into the house and had a little too much of. This is a little bit of this is speculation. But the part that I know about is the next morning, Kathy went to wake him up and get started with school. And he won't wake up. I think he probably had a hangover and probably a throbbing headache. I don't know. But he all of a sudden, he didn't want to do it. And so she finally gets him to wake up. She's talking, we got to get school started. Let's get the day going. You know, we can do this. Trying to encourage him and get him going. And he makes this statement that I will never forget. He says, that's just not me. See, what had happened was he had a picture of his old life. And that day he made a decision. This new life's not really me. I'm going back to the old one. And from that day forward, it went the other direction. So I'm just wanting you this morning to think about how powerful this could be in your own heart. I want you to do the opposite. When some opportunity arises for you for the day, whether it's something to do, something to think about, something to watch on TV, etc. If you have these two pictures clearly in your mind, if it seems to associate with the old one, you say, that's not me. That is not me anymore. Get as far away from it as you possibly can. Because the new you is the you that God put a vision in your heart the day you were born again. That's who he wants you to be. Let's just read a couple of these together. I think Paul's trying to clarify this picture. Look at verse 25. He says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So you're to be a truth speaker. Now you need to do that with gentleness. Sometimes if someone's upset you, you need to correct them. You need to give them better understanding, but you need to do it with gentleness. Because of verse 26, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. It's a fascinating verse because I think it shows us that emotion is sometimes hard to control. So if someone does you wrong, if they cheat you or hurt you, maybe they cut you off in traffic, that emotion just flares, right? So you can't always control that. But the verse says, be angry and yet do not sin. You can have a different response to that anger that you feel rising up inside of you. That's the new you. How are you going to respond to it? God says we should respond with gentleness and kindness, even if we need to correct other people, even if we need to talk with them. We need to do so with kindness and gentleness. Verse 26, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Get done with it that day. Give it back to the Lord. Forgive. Release people from debts that you think they owe you. It'll change your life. Verse 27, do not give the devil an opportunity. They don't even give him a tiny little foothold. He knows your old hangouts and your old desires and your old ways, and that's where he likes to tempt you. Don't give him the slightest opportunity. OK, Okay, here's my verse. For when I was a teenager, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Say, that's my past. Long, long, long ago. I'm never even tempted with that anymore. Hallelujah. Now I'm working hard to be able to give. So we give. We give to our church family. We give to some missions causes. We give to others occasionally. This is who God wants us to be. Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. That's the old. But only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. You know, there's another place in the Bible that talks about the tongue and what a restless evil it is and how much damage we can do to one another with it. And so this verse is trying to help us through that. No unwholesome word. Okay, as far as I can tell, that means not even one unwholesome word. Don't even let it start. Verse 30 is a great one. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And that's a great one because it's a reminder that God's always with you. So don't do something that will make him sad. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He's inside of your heart. He's that seal on your life. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. You know, it's a good exercise you might want to go through sometime. Get out your dictionary and look up each of those words. They are all the old side. Don't let them be any more a part of you. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. I'm going to keep going a little bit further, but hey, if anyone here has a comment or a thought or a question about these that we're going through, maybe this idea of these two pictures is new for you, or maybe you'd like to share a thought about how it's helped you, please just raise your hand, interrupt me, whatever. Verse 1, chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. This is what we've been talking about for weeks now. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. When Jesus laid his life down on the cross, it was a fragrant aroma to God the Father. Because here's someone laying his life down for others. And he's calling us to be like that, to walk in love. When we had sinned against him, instead of hanging on to anger and bitterness and resentment and thinking of some way he could get back at us, he came in love. Maybe I should leave this for you all to go through at your leisure. I would just encourage you, read through these couple of chapters and get these two pictures in your mind, the old and the new. This is not the only book in the New Testament where they talk about this, the old and the new. And guys, this is us. Every day, a little bit more, this is us, because we're going to be like him. We're going to write on our hand, belonging to the Lord. We're going to show it off with pride. Well, let's pray together. Dear Lord in heaven, I just want to thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you did not leave us alone, but you came and paid the penalty for our sin. And Lord, if we're willing to put our faith in you, you will make us new. You will start us on this journey of recovery and growth towards the beautiful creation you had in mind, the beautiful vision you had in mind, have in mind for each of our lives. Lord, we thank you for the vision. And Lord, we just say, yes, we're in. We're going after it, Father. Lord, may you be victorious in each of our lives today, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.